in the heart of America.
Good afternoon, I'm Claudette Lindsay, and welcome to the Caribbean Exchange, a unique radio program that gives you a better understanding of the Caribbean people and their culture. The program also gives you an opportunity to exchange your ideas in an effort to create a more harmonious relationship. We are broadcasting from the campus of Morgan State University, 88.9 WEAA-FM, the voice of the community. This program was recorded from my home studio, so we are not accepting any calls. Each year, thousands of people come to the United States seeking asylum or protection from persecution. When Donald Trump became president, he and his administration unleashed a number of rules and regulations, making it more difficult for people to seek asylum and other humanitarian protections in the United States. Those new regulations had an impact on Juanita Thompson and her family, who came from Jamaica 16 years ago seeking asylum in the United States. Then the Trump administration told them they had to leave because they had lost their asylum case. But the Thompson family refused to leave and decided to fight the deportation order. They took sanctuary in churches for more than 2 years during the Trump administration. Juanita and Clive Thompson are my guests, along with Peter Pedamonte, co-director of New Sanctuary Movement of Philadelphia, an interfaith, multicultural immigration justice organization. He has been working on social justice movements since 2001. He's a first-generation U.S. citizen. Mr. Pedamonte is the son of English and Italian immigrants. He worked closely with Juanita and Clive as the organizer for the sanctuary campaign. He's Catholic and has two children. Good afternoon, lady and gentlemen. Welcome to the program.
Good afternoon, Claudette.
Good afternoon, Claudette.
Good afternoon.
Juanita, let me start with you. The last 2.5 years must have been a nightmare for you and your family.
It sure was, like literally, yes. You know, if you doesn't live it, you can't even understand how hard those 2.5 years living in sanctuary was.
Now, take us back. Let's go back. You came to the United States because there were threats against your family.
Yes. So my brother had got murdered, and, you know, my husband and my family was threatened, and we decided to, you know, come to the United States, where we, you know, we learned and thought it was like the best place on earth to be, where we could be safe. So we came here and seek asylum in 2004.
So how long after you came to the United States did you seek asylum or apply for asylum?
Within like 3 months.
Okay, so you came to the United States for that specific purpose.
Yes, yes.
And so what's the process like?
So the process is, you know, you fill out application with, I know I forgot what's the name, what is an asylum documents. And of course, I didn't have funds to like get a lawyer. So I did all the paperwork myself and submitted to USCIS, United States Citizenship and Immigration Services, and the ICE department. And then they asked me to come to court, and we've been going to court.
So during that process, did they give you legal status in terms of a work permit and so forth?
Yes. So within 180 days, me and my husband, and I think it was my oldest daughter at the time, we got work authorization that we could live and work in the United States. And so we was working legally from that time moving forward until the previous administration, you know, came into power.
You have 7 children. Are all of those children Jamaican or some are Americans?
Some are Americans. So my oldest is naturalized now, and she has the one do the petition. And as I move forward in the program, I can explain that. Do the petition for Clive and I. And I have 2 that is, you know, born United States citizens. And I have 2 children with DACA, and the others have permanent residence.
You were doing fine. You were working. I understand you were going to school for an advanced degree in nursing?
Yes. So once I got work permit, that means when you got a work permit, you can apply for your social security number. And I did, me and my husband, we did that. And I start going to school and also going to work because I didn't have a high school diploma and I wanted that. So I did that and got my high school diploma and start attending college and working and volunteering my time and so forth.
You also had a house. You both bought a house.
Yes. Oh, yes. You know, the first thing you thought about is to really have a shelter, a proper shelter for your children. So what me and my husband did, we worked and we bought a house in New Jersey. Yes.
So everything was going fine. Then Donald Trump became president. And then the Trump administration made all these changes and basically dismantling the asylum program. And in your case, your application was denied.
Yes. So our application was denied and it didn't even like, okay, let's give them a chance to be here or whatnot. What happened was it was just a phone call that you guys need to buy a one-way ticket to go back to Jamaica. And of course we couldn't do that because my brother was murdered. I was running away from, you know, the violence and all of that stuff. So I just think he did not want any brown and black people in this country because we have worked, pay our taxes, because sometimes folks doesn't understand that you're not here living off the system. That's not what happened. You work, you pay your taxes, we volunteer, we send our children to colleges without any kind of financial aid because we couldn't get financial aid. So you have to work and do payment plans or whatever we did to, you know, get the children in school. So when we have just a few days to buy a ticket, and this was in 2018, I called up Peter Podamonte, New Century Movement, because I heard of their program. And I cannot tell you what I said now, but, you know, he said, come to the office and so forth. And so we could sit down and talk. And I was telling him that we only have days to go home and we just can't do that. And then that's when he said, you know, I will help you. And then I know he can take it from there.
Mr. Pedamonte, you take it from here. Juanita called you, and I'm sure by this time she was desperate. The family was desperate because it was not an option to pack up and go back to Jamaica.
Yes. So I invited them in and we had a sit down. At that time, physical sanctuary had been in the media everywhere, you know, and it was very dressed up. It was very sexy, right? Everyone was talking about sanctuary. Mm-hmm. The reality of sanctuary is totally different. It's incredibly hard. It's grueling. You don't know how long it'll go. And so usually what we do is invite people in to have a really honest conversation to try to paint a picture as much as we can about what that will look like. And so I remember meeting with Juanita and kind of gave that hard talk about like, this is not like it is in the media. And she said, all right, I'm going to go talk with my family. And the next day, she came back to the office with her whole family. And I remember we work out of a small office in North Philly. And so we brought them all into a room. And I always remember this because everyone, the energy and the spirit of the family of your family, Juanita, is so strong. And with kids and grandkids, you know, kind of talking about this, but still laughing and joking and really together. And I remember at that moment thinking they're going to do this. And just like seeing the faith and the determination and the closeness of the family. And it's been a real blessing to kind of get to know them and to have worked and struggled with them in the last 2.5 years.
Juanita and Clive, you left New Jersey because you were living in New Jersey and you uprooted your family and went to Philadelphia.
Yes. Well, we had no choice. We had no choice because going back to Jamaica was not one of the choices. So we had was to come to Philadelphia where we could take, you know, physical sanctuary and where we feel that we can be safe because New Jersey is not a sanctuary city, but Philadelphia is. And then when Peter said, yes, you know, I can find you a place, a church to stay, we was really, really happy about finding somewhere where we could not be literally hiding. Because when you take sanctuary, you also have to go public and says, this is the church and the address. And so where we are. So we are here fighting our case. So we was not really hiding. The government knew where we was. at all time.
At all times. And so when Mr. Pedamonte explained that this is not a rosy situation, as the media portrayed to be, this is going to be grueling, you still decided that you were going to take that chance.
I had to. Me and my husband, we had no other options, you know, so we just had to. And yes, let me tell you, I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy. It's nothing that you can imagine. It's a prison without the chains on your feet, because you can't dare set foot outside of the church, because you don't know if ICE officers was like out there.
Because probably they'll be outside hiding in the bushes waiting for you to come out so they could snatch you.
Right. So yes. So, you know, we had was to be like so vigilant at all times, even when we just need some fresh air on the porch or something like that.
So now, Mr. Pedamonte, tell us a little bit more about Sanctuary and the new Sanctuary movement and how this came into being. You're the co-director.
Yeah. And I first want to say, as I listened to Juanita and Clive talk about, you know, the process leading up to here, I feel like it's the perfect example of the story that this country tells itself, the narrative of this story, that this is the country where you work hard and pull yourself up by the bootstraps and anyone can make it. And yet two people with kids who are doing that were not welcomed by the government. They were tracked, followed, and eventually tried to be deported and had to hide in a church for more than 2 years, half of Trump's term, in order to stay here. And I think one of the parts of Sanctuary is not just to fight, as Juanita was saying, it's not just to sort of hide, but it's actually very public and lifting up. It's supposed to lift up this gap in the story of what we tell ourselves as a country and the reality, and to show to millions of people the violence and the persecution that's happening.
And the injustice.
Yeah. And to lift that up for everyone to see and play that out. And really share, especially in a church, to show the violation of values, the violation of a family. And I think with Trump also pulled that curtain back, right? I mean, he was explicitly ran a white supremacist administration, and mm-hmm. really, as Juanita said, step by step, day by day, tried to kick as many immigrants of color out of this country and block as many as he could. But the system existed before that, and I think is very much based in white supremacy. And I think as we come into Biden's administration, he has rolled back some of the pieces that Trump did, but we really do need to really shift the system completely. And right now, as you know, Juanita and Clive won their case, and now it's time for the other 11 million people for a pathway to citizenship for everyone. But going back to the original question.
The question is, tell us a little bit about the new Sanctuary movement.
Sure. So we are an interfaith immigrant justice organization. So we work with about 33 congregations in the Philadelphia area, both in the Indonesian community, in the Caribbean community, and the Latinx community, and really bring people together to live out the values, to love our neighbor, to welcome the stranger. And we do that a few different ways. So we walk with folks facing deportation. So usually what that looks like is going to court with people. So we'll show up to immigration court with 5-10 people, you know, getting people's back during an immigration trial, but also making sure the judges know that people are watching. So there's some accountability there. And also, I do think there's a piece of having that visual representation of God's presence within a courtroom. And I think sometimes that takes us all the way to physical sanctuary, that we're going to walk with people no matter what. And if that means that someone has to take sanctuary in a church, we're there. And then we do a lot of leadership development and training, and then we do campaigns. So we fight, whether it's to make Philly a sanctuary city, which we won back in 2014, or to right now we're working for driver's licenses for undocumented people in Pennsylvania and for immigration reform.
You're listening to 88.9 WEAA. This is the Caribbean Exchange. I'm Claudette Lindsay. Just as a reminder, this program is recorded from my home studio, so we are not accepting any calls. So, Mr. Pedamonte, how many sanctuary cities do we have in the United States?
There are hundreds. Back in 2014, when we won our campaign, there was about 13. And then there was a avalanche of support of shifts. So there's, I think there's about 300 or 400 cities, towns, and counties in the US that are sanctuary cities, meaning that they do not, local police does not cooperate with ICE.
In a sanctuary city, someone who is undocumented and is facing deportation, they can stay in a sanctuary city, in a church, or in a home?
Yeah, this is, there's a little different. So the a sanctuary city, it means that the city or the town is not going to, when someone is arrested by local police and ICE is going to send them a request to hold that person, they do not listen to that request.
Okay.
So they don't cooperate with immigration. And a physical sanctuary is when somebody, but in sanctuary cities, ICE can still operate. Physical sanctuary, it can happen anywhere. And that's when someone actually takes physical sanctuary in a congregation like Juanita and Clive did.
You have several churches within the Philadelphia area that are sanctuary churches.
Correct. And who have made a commitment to work for justice for immigrant communities. And so when Juanita and Clive knocked on our door, really that was a short turnaround. What was that, Juanita, like 48 hours?
Yeah, it was really short.
And so what we did was move and start talking with the congregations we work with about who had space, who was ready. And so, you know, a church in Germantown was ready and got a space ready, and they moved in a few days later.
So, Mr. Pedamonte, having someone seek sanctuary in a church, is that legal?
It is civil disobedience. It is challenging a law, and it's challenging a law that is unjust, that harms people, and that's immoral. And so the point of that is saying, we are not going to cooperate with this law. We're not going to go, we're not going to be deported. We're not going to let you separate our family. And ICE does not enter into congregations for a couple of reasons. One, there is a memo. There's no law that prevents them, but there's mm-hmm. a memo that said in ICE that says ICE, it's the sensitive locations memo. So ICE won't do enforcement in sensitive locations like churches or hospitals or schools. They could break that. They could change that memo. Or if there was a national security or some kind of reason, they could go in. Two, I think it's really bad PR. Seeing them, you know, front page of the paper in the morning is them dragging out a family of a church and the pastor. I think it's that visual of how, I mean, really what exposes ICE for who they are is a rogue agency that's breaking up families. But then third, there is a history, a thousands of year history of law enforcement respecting a place of worship. And so it is challenging. So it's not legal. And the point is to challenge the law.
It's to challenge the law. Earlier, you mentioned that you accompanied immigrants to court. Do you have lawyers or a team of lawyers, I should say, at the disposal of these immigrant families, if and when they need one?
We partner with other groups who are lawyers. And so we work to connect, whether it be Juanita and Clive or even people who are not going to sanctuary, but who need legal support, with trustworthy lawyers. So one of the biggest thing, because in immigration court, you don't have a right to a lawyer. And the majority of people actually go through the immigration court without representation, which greatly lowers the chance of success.
Did I hear you correctly? Someone who is going to immigration court, they're not allowed to have legal representation?
They're allowed to, they're not guaranteed. Like in criminal court, if you cannot afford a lawyer, you get one provided for you. That is not the case in immigration.
Oh, I see.
Because mm-hmm. immigration is civil law. And it's hugely unjust. And it's a tenet of our democracy that people should have the right to representation. And yet mothers are being torn away from their kids because they cannot afford a lawyer or don't know they have a right to one. And so one of the biggest things, if folks are listening to this who are undocumented, who have questions about their cases, is connect with a random lawyer, but connect with an immigrant justice organization near you and ask for referrals to a lawyer. There's also a lot of unscrupulous lawyers out there. And so we do connect people with legal representation.
Do you think one of the number one issue facing the immigrant population is not knowing their rights?
That's a good question. I don't know. What do you think, Juanita and Clive?
I think that, yes, there's a lot of immigrant don't know their rights. That's why they get deported. So we know our rights. That's why we stand up to fight against the system that is unjust. And that's why our case is different. We are the first Black immigrant and the first Jamaican to take sanctuary. That's why this sanctuary case with me and my wife is different, because we stand up for what is right and not to give away our rights. That's why we are not deported. And that's when we decide to take sanctuary.
Clive and Juanita, you said living in the church was like a prison without the chains. I am trying to wrap my mind around living in a church. Do you have beds? Is there a bedroom in the church? Paint a picture for us. Juanita, you're laughing. Are you sleeping on the pews? Are you sleeping on the ground? Explain to us, to our listeners. So, I know we can laugh now because it's after the fact.
Right. So when we was taking sanctuary, we had got some blow up beds because there are spaces inside the church where it was like cleaned out, and we have spaces in the church for Clive and I. There was one space, and our two youngest was with us in sanctuary, and there was a space for them. So yes, we had beds inside of the church. Yes.
What about food? I know you're from Jamaica, and I'm sure you love jerk chicken and rice and peas and all of that. How did that work in you living in a church?
So I often, that's one of the thing that always take me to tears or kind of get me very, very emotional. It's about, you know, when I think back, what would Clive and I and the children do if there wasn't folks like Peter and the church and the community that was behind us to make sure we eat and drink, because there was stove and everything, we could cook our way, but cook whatever you have. But what if there was only decided, oh, we're going to give you a sanctuary, but didn't think about our needs of eating? And that was one of the things that struck me the most, like, oh, but if you didn't have the strangers who decided to step in with groceries or, you know, whatever, my two youngest could go to the store because, you know, they're citizens and they didn't have to hide. However, they had was to stay with us because they was underage. And, you know, to go get us groceries or, you know, folks, the community would just drop us off food. Peter would give us a check to buy groceries or stuff like that. So every time I thought about that and said, if there wasn't the community and the organization, we would starve. And, you know, that's very, always very touchy for me. Yeah.
What about you, Clive?
Yes. The support from the people and New Sanctuary Movement really fulfill the promise they make to us when we was taking sanctuary. So that is a part of our culture. We need to eat our type of food. Mm-hmm. So we would tell them what we eat, what type of food we need, and Juanita would give them a list, and they would go to the store and find that kind of food. Because we're Jamaican, we don't eat certain type of food. So we have to stick to our culture. And then we would prepare the food. It's not like a home, but we have to walk a little way to this kitchen where they have, and we cook the food, and then we take it to the space where we stay, and we will share me and Juanita and the kids. Yeah.
Did you go outside in the churchyard?
Yeah, there is a little place, like a little backyard garden. Nobody won't see you if you're back there though, but we're still scared of going back there because it's a one way in and a one way out.
One way out. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we mostly stay inside at the church. And
for over 2 years.
Yeah, we stay inside the church.
Juanita, what was going on with you mentally? The confinement, I know, must have been really difficult. You and your husband, you're used to working, providing for your family. Now you have to depend on other people, and you have to depend on the kindness of strangers.
So mentally, I'm telling you, if I was like a Christian and know Jesus and just believe that that too shall pass, it would just, there was days when I literally felt like just go inside the walls and hide. That's how I felt. And there was days that when I said, there is a reason why I'm here, I'm fighting my deportation, I'm standing up. But I'm telling you, if I didn't have Christ in my heart and a lot of praying and fasting, and there were days when I just call up Peter and says, all right, we're not having a meeting. I'm not having a meeting this week. I just want folks to help me fast and pray because this have to stop. And so when you say mentally, I'm telling you, if I didn't have Jesus in my heart and spot myself a lot of times on the shoulder and remind myself that Joseph went from the pit to the palace, we could not make it. And if I didn't have my husband there with me, I could not make it out of sanctuary with a sound mind.
You're listening to 88.9 WEAA. This is the Caribbean Exchange. I'm Claudette Lindsay. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we will continue our discussions. We will be right back.
Fighting an arrival, fighting for survival, driven from the mainland to the heart of the Caribbean.
Welcome back to the second half of the Caribbean Exchange. I'm Claudette Lindsay. Today on the Caribbean Exchange, we are talking with the Thompson family. They decided to fight the immigration deportation ruling, and now they're on their way towards permanent residency. I'm talking with Juanita and Clive Thompson. I'm also talking with Peter Pedamonte, co-director of New Sanctuary Movement of Philadelphia. He was a tremendous help to Clive and Juanita and their family. Juanita, before the break, you were talking about how you were able to cope taking sanctuary in a church. What about your children? How did they adjust?
Oh, it was bad for them. I watched it took a toll on my children like you could never believe. My youngest son, especially, he leave all his friends at the home in New Jersey that he grew up in, and then he came here. And once, like, children knew that he was living in a church, he was being bullied. He was being, you know, not only was it just verbal, it got physical. And see, he wouldn't tell me at first because he thought that we was going through a lot already. But when it get physical, he had was to tell me that, oh, mom, you know, even in the computer room, I've been getting hit in my head because people are, you know, kids are mean and saying that I live in the church. And I watch his grades go from A's to D's. And I had was to talk to some folks and pull him out and put him in a private school where, you know what, we didn't have money. So it was the community, Woodstone Friends, that was paying for private school and still is for him to go to a private Christian school, International Christian High School, right now where he, you know, and of course now he's virtual, but where he wasn't being picked on when he was in school. So it was very, very hard.
Just to remind our listeners that the reason your children, they could leave the church and go to school was because they were American citizens.
Yes. Yes.
Clive, you were saying?
Yeah. You talk about our faith and how we do it in sanctuary. If we did not have Jesus on our side to go through it mentally and all that, that's what help us too. But while we was in sanctuary, it's not an easy thing like when you take sanctuary, because your vice, as Juanita said, is like a prison. Even though there's no shackles on our feet, we could just decide and walk out and just make up our mind and go. But while we was in sanctuary, our vice is not free or we would want to do. You have been pressured even though you are in there.
Mm-hmm.
So we would want to do as much as we want to, but there's a lot more behind it. It was very hard. It's not as how people would look. You take sanctuary in a church and it's okay. No, it's not that. You have to fight for your own vices.
Mr. Pedamonte, you're shaking your head. How did you help the Thompsons to cope? I know you provided financial support. What other support did you provide for them?
I want to say for the financial support that I feel like Juanita and Clive raised that money. They set up kind of a rhythm of having monthly dinners where we would invite the community and come in and have a program that they put together, food that they cooked, and really raised that money. And so when Juanita says I came by and dropped off a check, that's just a check from that fund that they had raised. And I say that because I think Juanita and Clive are very humble right now and, you know, aren't really sharing the hard work. And even when they talk about people coming by to support, that's work, right? I mean, Juanita, Clive, we work together, very close together to build that community, to get people to stand in solidarity. And so just to give them that credit, because it's a lot of work, and they were fantastic and still are really fantastic at it. And they fought every day to make this and won that. The support I mostly did was support on the campaign. And so I'd say the support on the campaign and honestly just friendship, just coming over to listen, or, you know, watching Juanita's video of Clive working out in the morning. Or I think coming over to listen when times were hard and pray together or work through the hard times, and also showing up to laugh and joke around and strategize. But I think what New Sanctuary really brings is the strategy and the campaign to put pressure on elected officials and on ICE to make sure this happens. And I think that's something that I hope everyone hears, is that not only, this comes back to what Clive said before, is that it's not just legal representation, but knowing that you can fight and you can struggle and you can push back on immigration, and that we are powerful when we work together.
There's strength in unity.
There is. And I think I'll say the last thing that I really loved about working with Juanita and Clive, and what I really appreciated about the campaign, was bringing in the spiritual tools, the spiritual weapons we have of fasting, of praying, of vigils, that are not just things we do on the side because we're people of faith, but we do because they work. The way we won this campaign, I have never seen before. And like, I think we won in December before Trump left office. And I think there's a big part of not just the petitions and letters and emails and protests, and but also prayer vigils, fasting, and really picking up those tactics we have.
Juanita and Clive, did you ever, during this time, ever think of giving up?
Never. See, I knew if I start down that road, then I would never be here where I'm at today, mm-hmm. right? So giving up was not one of my, I don't even think it came across my thought of giving up. When it gets hard and I cried and I pray and I fast, it's as, you know, I'm like, what do I do next? What other politician, what other congressman, what other letters, what other arguing with Peter Padamanti about what else can we strategize on? What can we do next to move forward and win? You know, so giving up was not
an option.
It would never be an option. Not when you have Jesus and a community and people of faith and so forth. No, never.
What about you, Clive?
There was any giving up, it would have to be from the beginning when we planned it out. But once we take the journey, there was no giving up for us.
And no turning back.
No turning back. And we will never stop until it finished.
Now, Mr. Pedamonte, taking sanctuary in a church is just the beginning. You have to do a lot of work behind the scenes. So once a family decides that they're going to go through with taking up sanctuary in a church, do you inform ICE? Take us through the process.
So the lawyer informs ICE, and then we do a public launch. And so there's a public event, a public action, where sort of very, very, that symbolism of a church opening its doors, where at the same time you are defying and challenging an unjust law. So when we open the church doors and they walk in, that is really a model for the country and for people, right? When people show up at our borders or show up at our ports, we need to be opening our doors. And as people, we need to be opening our hearts. And that's easy to say, right? But it's really hard to do. And I think that for me as a Christian, that's like the challenge of it, right? That's like the exciting part of like doing that day to day is hard, but it's what we're called to do. And I think that's the powerful symbol of sanctuary. And so the public action sort of launches the public campaign, lets ICE know, but also starts engaging people. And so then there's going to be a group working on logistics, figuring out all the living stuff and day-to-day logistics, and then a team working on the campaign. Every campaign's urgent, right? But like you know, if we're working on licenses, there might be, you know, a big action, and then you sort of had some, maybe some slower time. Mm-hmm. With Sanctuary, every single day is another day that Juanita and Clive were stuck in a church. And so there's definitely much more pressure to push as hard as we can.
Juanita and Clive, you were writing letters to Congress, to senators.
Yes. Yeah. Never stopped. Like, it was all the time. Like, I think they all know my name by now, because I would call them, I would write them, I would email them, and I mean, nonstop, until I even get them to come and sit down with me to have a
talk. At the church?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. You can, when you take Sanctuary, a person doesn't understand how difficult that is. And then you do stuff that you would never believe. Because if somebody had told me like years ago that, oh, you would do this, oh my gosh. Because now you have on a thinking cap that you never knew that that part of your brain was working. It mm-hmm. starts to work. And yes, senators, congressmen, and just a lot of fighting, a lot of reaching out, and have them come and sit down with us and help to push our paperwork forward.
Mr. Pedamonte, has this happened before? I mean, is this the normal procedure where you have a Sanctuary family and you get the senators or congresspeople to come in and talk to them?
Well, yes and no. So yes, in that we are, it's not just Juanita and Clive writing letters. It's the goal is to get hundreds, if not thousands, of people to write mm-hmm. letters. And so mm-hmm. Again, the importance of connecting with community, connecting with organizations, that we can launch a public and broad campaign to move ICE and elected officials. And I think different in that, I think Juanita and Clive ran a very effective and did amazing work. You know, I think I always remember the time when they had, I have not seen, both Senator Casey came at one time to visit them in the church mm-hmm. personally, and also U.S. Representative Dwight Evans also came. And when Representative Evans came, we were there with also staff from Casey's office. And I always remember the room was packed, right, with the staffers and other people. And Juanita was at the head of the table, and Juanita and Clive ran that show. I mean, owned that room and ran the meeting. And I think I snuck a picture, because I always remember that, the strength, right? The strength to do this.
I can see Juanita is determined.
Yeah. When you need something bad enough, you will literally stop at nothing. And, you know, to actually get the result that you need to push forward, to fight, to keep your family together, and also to win your case, and leave that example for others, because I'm sure there are hundreds or, you know, thousands of people, you know, hiding in the shadows, who felt like they doesn't have a voice, because it's very intimidating. It's very intimidating. I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, it was an easy road and this and that. But when you decide that you need something bad enough and hard enough, you just have to put the work in, and many sleepless nights, many crying, many just, okay, what's next? And I decided that just talking to Clive, talking to Peter, because Peter was, it's not because he's on here why I'm saying that. He does not only talk the talk, he also walks the walk. And there was just like, even Sunday afternoon when he's supposed to be home with his wife and his children, he came to sit with us and just to actually listen. You know, we go on and on and on about Sanctuary and how hard it is and what else can we do. And, you know, that make him, you know, such a good leader. And I would recommend anyone to Peter Pedamonte, because he's really, really a good person that you can actually, not only does he have an organization, but he's also a people person and a true Christian.
And Mr. Pedamonte, I can vouch for that. She talks about you all the time. Every time I talk to her, she talks about you and how instrumental you were in their lives. Now, I want to move the day when you got the letter that you can leave the church. Let me play this tape of you on the day you left the church.
We won. We won. We won. Thank Jesus Christ. I was very fearful of losing my children. I was very fearful of losing me. I was very fearful
of losing the will to fight.
Tell us about that.
Oh my gosh. So actually, I was kind of hearing, like, I got two different emails from Senator Casey and Senator Booker's office saying that ICE director, it's the principal attorney, they call in the OPLA of New Jersey, that decided to join in the motion. And they said, oh, they're going to join motion. And I, you know, I quickly called up Peter and I said, I heard this and that, but I wanted to make sure that I have it in my hand and see that it's real. So I said to my attorney, well, we're going to wait on this before we say anything publicly or whatever we're going to do. And when December 10th, 2020, when I go to my email and I saw it and print it out and hold it in my hand, listen, I did not know I could dance. I was like dancing and so happy that this happened.
Do you remember what the email said?
It just says the principal attorney along with USCIS has joined in the motion to reopen your case and terminate your deportation order.
Clive, talk a little bit about what was going through your mind after you got the letter and you and your family walked out of the church.
Oh my God, I was laying down in this space because we moved from one church to our next church. So I was laying down and I was thinking how long this is going to continue. And then Juanita come and say, they reopen the case and terminate the deportation. And I was just crying. A big man cry, I cry. And my whole body was like, it's a different type of feelings. I can't even explain it to you, Claudette. But there's something just come back to my mind. When I get to that church, I said to the pastor, this is the end of the journey. And then that does reflect back to know that God is real. Mm-hmm. Why would I say that to the pastor, for that church we just moved into? That's the journey going to end in this church. And there was it. The journey has come to an end. Within maybe 2 months, We moved to that church. I feel it in the spirit that something gonna change.
It's like a premonition.
Yes. Everything fulfilling and at that time. And it was just heartbreaking. Even food didn't have taste that moment. To know that the fight is over. All of what we put in is come to reality. And I want to get back to something, to what Peter said about open doors to people when they come to your border or whatever. It's open up your heart for love for people, because love is the most powerful weapon you could ever have with all these people who we did not know when we moved from New Jersey to Philadelphia, who show we all that support to make it happen.
And so now that you are free, what is the next step?
Well, the next step is just wait now on our green card and just to keep on fighting for others. And, you know, I felt like I need to even speak more to encourage others to know that God can do it, because he did it for us and he can do it for anyone else. And, you know, just to include fasting and prayer in your daily life. And, you know, just to move on and just encourage others of the goodness of God and, you know, and that he's so faithful.
I was reading something where, Clive, you were saying when your wife came out, she forgot how to use the ATM card. Tell us about that.
Yeah, she went to the ATM and I was standing there with her and I'm trying to figure out what take her so long to. And I realized she don't remember how to use the debit card in the ATM. And I said, what happened? And she said, oh my God, I forgot how to use this. Yeah, she was, you know, blacked out.
Yeah. I mean, now they have a chip in the card and I'm like, why am I swiping it? And it's saying, what's happening? But then I forgot that it has a chip.
You have to insert it.
And I really had forgotten about that. And I said to myself, I cannot even imagine if this was more years, or, you know, to let me reflect on people in prison and how their life must have been a shamble after, you know, after getting out or whatnot.
And returning back to society.
Yes.
So were you the only family in Sanctuary at the church, or you had more families there?
There was a next family, yes, in Sanctuary with us.
And so you bonded with this family, you made friends?
Well, yeah, this other family was from Honduras. And so this is funny because she speaks Spanish and I don't even want to lick a Spanish. She's just hola for me. And we used to communicate by using the phone. There was an app. And so that's how we could talk. However, she had won her case before us and had left Sanctuary.
You're listening to 88.9 WEAA. This is the Caribbean Exchange. I'm Claudette Lindsay. Just as a reminder, this program is recorded from my home studio, so we are not accepting any calls. So now one phase is over, the next phase begins, because now you need to find a job. Now you need, because you still have your home in New Jersey, you still have a mortgage. How are you supporting yourself? Do you have a GoFundMe page? Do you have fundraiser? How are you getting by now? Have you moved back to New Jersey or you're still in Philadelphia?
Well, we plan to do both because I don't want to take my son and my daughter. As I told you, their struggle with school, and I don't want to like drag them back and forth. So I'll be between, you know, the two places to make sure they're still staying in school in Philadelphia. And yes, we have a mortgage, and somebody can Google Juanita Thompson, as you know, that it spells O-N-E-I-T-A, and a GoFundMe is out there where they can always donate because we have the mortgage to pay and just daily living. And I also have a Venmo account and a Cash App account. And for the Venmo, it's at Juanita-Thompson for the Venmo. So it's the at sign and it's O-N-E-I-T-A-T-H-O-M-P-S-O-N. And then for the Cash App, it's the dollar sign. And again, it's O-N-E-I-T-A-L-E-W-I-S-T-H-O-M-P-S-O-N. And folks can donate. But also monthly, we couldn't do it during the pandemic, but now we can make delicious Jamaican food. And we have in our fundraiser where we have delicious Jamaican food, you know, from the oxtail to the brown stew chicken and red beans and rice. So we have a meal and one can donate and come and pick up their meal. And if you're too far away, you can just put a donation. And we also are on Eventbrite, where you can go to Eventbrite and you search Thompson's Housewarming and you can go ahead and make a donation if you want. And also, I know that New Sanctuary Movement of Philadelphia do a lot of work and help a lot of immigrants. And folks can just go to NSM website and they can follow. I mean, Peter probably could talk about that, where they can make donations for other immigrants also to get help.
Mr. Pedamonte, how is the New Sanctuary Movement funded?
The majority of our funding comes from individual donors. So over 70% come from individual donors. And then we also get some grants from foundations, and our member congregations also pay annual dues, and that allows us to do the work. And if I can give a pitch for Juanita's food, I'm vegetarian, but not when Juanita cooks.
Oh, so you've been feeding him jerk chicken and oxtail, Juanita.
he's been eating up a storm.
And so, Mr. Pedamonte, this is a success story, but this is not the end for you. The New Sanctuary Movement, you're still there for the Thompsons.
Yeah, we are. And so we're with them till they get that green card and even beyond. I mean, I think the bond we've built over this campaign is, you know, a friendship for life. And also, you know, I think right now, if people do come to our website, one of the biggest things they can do is put pressure on their senators and representatives to pass a pathway to citizenship. What Juanita and Clive has won, we need all 11 million people to win. And right now we have a moment right now where the Democrats have the Senate and the House of Representatives, and we need to push as hard as we can that they include it in the budget reconciliation. The time is now, and if people can write letters, make phone calls, it's going to make a world of difference.
Juanita and Clive, the house that you have in New Jersey, while you were in sanctuary, that the pipe burst and so created a lot of debt.
Yes. So when the pipes burst, it had flooded out, especially the downstairs. And so there's a lot of work in there that needs to be done.
And so all of this fundraising that you're doing is towards helping to repair your home and to help you and your family until you find a job.
Right. So we cannot actually go to work until we get the green card or the work permit. So right now, yes, that's why every donation, everything helps, because we need, funding for that. Even though we cook and do the monthly thing, yes, it's for like mortgage, because we have to pay the mortgage on the house. And if we have excess, we would try to start to, do some repairs and so forth.
So now that you're waiting on the green card, they have not reinstated your work permit, your driver's license and all of that?
You cannot get any work unless, and we don't want to work illegally. So we're just waiting on the green card or the work permit to come.
So Mr. Pedamonte, now that they are on the path to getting their green card, because before that they were in the asylum program, they had a work permit, they had driver's license. But now that immigration has decided to grant them a green card, I thought they would have at least restored their driver's license and restored their work permit so they can work towards paying off some of their debts.
Right. And so how does the government expect people to survive if you're not allowed to work?
That's my point.
Yeah. And so I feel like Juanita is basically an immigration lawyer at this point. I think she might be able to answer that better than I can.
So the ICE department, right, is a different department, and they does not generate the cards or the green cards. So it's a different department that they turn over stuff to, and we file to that department. And that's why we are still waiting. So once I said, we're no longer pursuing them, and we're joining the motion and terminate their deportation, and they don't have to worry about that, then we have to file our documents, which we did at USCIS, the part that generates the green card.
Have you heard back from them?
No, so we are still waiting.
All I know is that in my job, if it took me more than 5 months to file a piece of paper, I'd be fired.
Right? Right. Yeah. But I think they can do whatever they want. Yeah.
And a part of it why things taking so long is because of the previous administration moves things back. So this administration have to put them back in place.
In place, okay, yeah. I see.
And the pandemic, many people weren't working from office. So everything kind of slowed down.
Juanita and Clive, after all that you have gone through, would you still recommend the sanctuary program to a family who is facing deportation?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Definitely. Oh, definitely. I think it gives you the organization, is behind you and give you a chance to stay in this country and fight, knowing that you're not alone, because you just can't do it alone. It doesn't matter how you think you're strong, you cannot do this thing alone. So I would recommend them to reach out if they're, having any issues with immigration, and talk to Peter Pedamonte and his group and see, if they can stay in this country while fighting their case.
Okay, Mr. Pedamonte, anything you want to add?
Just to build on that, I think, you don't have to wait till you're at a point of needing physical sanctuary to get engaged, to connect with community, connect with other families who are struggling. So reach out to your church, reach out to an organization, get connected now. It's one of the best things you can do. Thank you so much for this afternoon. It was a real pleasure being on the program with you.
Finally, do you have a number, if anyone is listening, a telephone number that they could call to get more information about this new sanctuary movement?
Yeah. So they can call. Our office is 215-279-7060. Again, 215-279-7060. And our website is sanctuaryphiladelphia.org. If you are not in the Philadelphia area, please feel free to call anyway, and we can give you recommendations to groups in your area.
Yes, I just wanted to add that, as Peter said, if you're not in the Philadelphia area, because we was not from Philadelphia, but they still helped us. And, you know, that was very good. And I just want everyone out there to know that you are not alone in your immigration fight. There's many more people, and Jesus can do what he did for us and to help you to win. And even for me, you guys, someone can reach out to me just for some encouragement. And, you know, if they just like stuck on a paperwork to be filled out, I can help too. Because believe me, I've learned to do a lot of that. I also would encourage everyone to reach out to Senator Cory Booker and Senator Casey and ask them to, like, we need legislation for the 11 million that is out there. Who needs help? Who needs to win? Because it's so hard when your back is behind the wall and you cannot work, or, you know, you're just literally hiding. And thank you so much for having us, and so we could tell our story.
I want to say before you leave to all the people out there who are listening that don't hate immigrant. Just show them some love.
Love is the key.
Yes.
Well, Clive and Juanita Thompson, thank you so much for joining us on the Caribbean Exchange and for sharing your story. Mr. Pedamonte, thank you so much for helping the Thompsons, and thank you for the work that you have been doing with the New Sanctuary Movement of Philadelphia. And congratulations to you, Juanita and Clive. Maybe now, after you get your green card, Juanita, you can run for city council or mayor or...
Oh, thank you so much for those encouraging words, and thank you so much for having us.
Bye-bye. My guests today on the Caribbean Exchange were Clive and Juanita Thompson. Their family came to the United States 16 years ago seeking asylum. During the Trump administration, they lost their asylum case, but the Thompson family refused to leave and decided to fight the deportation order. They took sanctuary in churches for more than 2 years and eventually won their case. My other guest was Mr. Peter Pedamonte, co-director of New Sanctuary Movement of Philadelphia. He worked closely with Juanita and Clive Thompson as the organizer of their sanctuary campaign. Thank you so much for listening. We would love to hear from you. Our email address is caribbeanexchange.cl@yahoo.com. As always, I'm Claudette Lindsay reminding you that obstacles are what you see when you take your eyes off your goals. Please stay tuned to WEAA All Day. Selector Jammy is coming up next with Tropical Rockers. Have a pleasant afternoon.